Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I'm your host, Jay Larson. And joining me, as always, is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Jay.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. I just got off a week-long visit with my dad in town, so that's been really nice. Very refreshing.
Nice. I just had a weekend where Brian went to see some family, and I stayed at home and basically spent the weekend doing yard work and housework.
So, I mean, that has to feel good when it's done, though, right?
I guess so.
You just guess.
I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Like, I'm kind of jealous of the people for whom, like, yard work and gardening is like this. It's what they do because they love it so much, and it helps them unwind, etc. And for me, it's just like one more thing on the pile of stuff that has to get done.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I do not enjoy yard work. I have never gotten like pleasure out of my grass being cut or like my bushes looking okay. I don't know.
Yeah. And, yeah.
I mean, it doesn't help that I live in like Houston. So for like 4 months a year, you're basically just like constantly trying to keep your grass from dying.
Yeah.
Like either there's too much water or there's not enough.
The last thing you want to do is like actually be outside.
Yeah. No, for real. I wish, like, I would rather live in Arizona where people just have like gravel, you know, front lawns that are like way smaller, because it's like, yeah, who cares? You don't want that.
Yeah, I do kind of. Sometimes I wish that I had kind of a xeriscaped lawn, but mine's actually, our house is kind of oversized for our lot. And so the house takes up most of what the yard would be. And so it's not necessarily a ton of stuff. It just feels like it can take excessively long sometimes.
That's fair.
So news and announcement stuff, I guess. Since we've recorded, there's been new things teased, etc. Are there any in particular that you want to dive in on?
Okay, so they showed Omega Red today, the painted studio model, and he looks incredible, and he's gigantic. Like, he looks like a big beefy guy on a 35 millimeter base, but he's actually on a 50 millimeter base. He's so big. It's incredible.
I don't think I even know who this character is.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So he was big in the, like, he's a Wolverine villain basically, but he was in the old animated TV show. He's basically a Russian super soldier that has these like whip chains that come out of his wrists that he can control. And he's got this like faulty power source that requires him to drain other people's life in order to stay alive. And so like some of the backstory was like Wolverine and Sabretooth, when they were on like Weapon X, they had the synthesizer he needed to like fix his defect. And they were like, fuck you, we're going to hide it. And like, that's been the thing for years. In fact, it's this year that he finally got the stupid thing, and it was Dracula that gave it to him. I love comics, because I can say sentences like that, and they're honest.
Yeah, I was going to say they're plausible. They're not plausible. They're
they're ridiculous.
You are
they're
factually recounting the way that the authors crafted this story.
Yeah. But he looks incredible. Dallas keeps saying it's his like favorite model or something, so hopefully it's strong in game. It's just a very cool looking guy. I'm very excited for him.
Yeah, some other things we have. The new releases have released. We have everything spoiled / have affiliations for all of this new wave of models: Sin, Viper, Quicksilver, Scarlet Witch, and Mr. Sinister.
Mm-hmm.
Are you surprised by the affiliations of, I guess in particular, like Mr. Sinister or any of the others?
So I guess we should recap real fast, right? So Sinister is in Cabal only.
Yeah.
I was kind of expecting him to just get in Brotherhood, because one affiliation is kind of against what they seem to be doing right now.
Yeah.
And so I was surprised he's just in Cabal. It makes me think he'll be in like an Apocalypse affiliation down the line, which would be really cool.
That would be spicy.
That was my thought. And I have predictions if that's down the line. And then so Scarlet Witch is on the obvious, is she's on Brotherhood, she's on Avengers, but then she's on Defenders. And I had to Google this, and she was in a couple Defenders teams. So okay, nice. Sure, that's cool. Right? More Defenders love is cool.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Quicksilver is in what, Cabal? No, not Cabal, sorry, Brotherhood, Avengers, and then he's in the Inhumans, which is not surprising. He was married to Crystal and they have a daughter together. Mm. So okay. That makes perfect sense. Some people, there have already been lots of people commenting about how, like, so Crystal has been in relationships with three prominent characters, and it's like, yeah, that's what Marvel does. They're very unclever about female-centric plot lines, so they just have romances with different characters, and then you have to make it, like, fall apart, and they get back together with other people. So, originally, Crystal was a love interest for the Human Torch, then she was with Quicksilver, and they had a child together, and they got married, that fell apart, and then she got in a political marriage with Ronan to make peace with the Kree, and then they basically just took Crystal back and were like, yeah, fuck that. We're done with that now. We don't care about space. And I don't know if that was even ever ended. So legally, like by Kree law, they might be married or something still. I don't know, man. But so, yeah. So Ronan and Quicksilver are both in Humans because they were married to Crystal at some point. So it also makes me think that the Human Torch will be added later, because he was engaged to Crystal, and then he was sleeping with Medusa when her and Black Bolt broke up. So he was like the royal consort, and it was really funny, because there were a lot of issues where he was just like the hot guy that's sleeping with the queen. And it's like, yeah, he can fight, but we don't need him to. We're the Inhumans. I thought it was great. You know what else they did?
What?
They errated the card, the crisis card, that yes. comes with Mr. Sinister pretty much immediately.
Yeah.
Props to Xavier Protocols, because I think he had a lot of influence in spreading this around. But so basically, Mr. Sinister's crisis is on the same layout as Gamma Waves, and he found some pretty troubling like combos where it's really easy to pick up all three on turn one and basically be out of your opponent's range of attack. So you can, like, not all three, but, you know, you can get all three on your team, turn one, and then be, like Angela can't move an attack where you end up. So it's like, there are some problems with it, and he kind of posted this article, and people were talking about it, and I think it was only up for a day. And Atomic Mass Games was like, oh, hey, there was a mistake with this card. It shouldn't be E, it should be C, which is in the middle, like the power core scenario from the starter. But basically, Atomic Mass Games realized there might be a problem, and they kind of just fixed it with a really fast errata before, like, and it could have been a misprint, or it could have been it slipped through playtesting without them realizing that they, like, got it wrong, or it could have been a lot of things, but I really appreciate that Atomic Mass Games fixed it right away. That was a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't even think it was that broken. It was more of a, like, competitive players are going to have to look out for them, right?
Right.
And it got fixed right away, so unless you were playing it, like, a week ago, you don't have to worry about that. That was really cool.
Nice.
They showed Jean Grey's model. She's like going up on a power effect and using her psychic abilities. It's really cool.
No tactical rock for her.
No tactical rock. She has tactical mind powers.
Yes.
And if you didn't know, she's going to be packaged with Cassandra Nova, which is really exciting. And if you listen to our Beast episode, we went over that character a bit in there, which was very fun.
Yeah, it is still kind of wild to me that we're going to have Cassandra Nova before
Professor X.
Professor X.
So, do you want to hear my theory?
I do.
I think Professor X will be a future model released for a Krakoa affiliation. So he will be the Krakoa leader and will be able to take all mutants in his affiliation. That's my theory. It's going to be like the Avengers, but for mutants. And I'm thinking we're going to see it later. And that's why we haven't gotten Xavier yet.
Okay.
Just my pet theory. Because I was like, why not? Right? But like, I think we're going to get an Apocalypse affiliation, right? That'll have Mr. Sinister and Archangel and, you know, other Apocalypse guys. Apocalypse has controlled like so many characters that I think it's like half the mutants can be in the Apocalypse faction too.
His four horsemen are like the 200 horsemen.
Well, he only has four at a time. It's just they can be, the X-Men consistently beat the horsemen out of people. Whoop them real good. But yeah, it'll be cool. I'm very excited for the future of the game. I'm very excited that they're like showing more mutants so that we'll get those factions fleshed out a bit. Right now, if you go on Discount Games Inc., you can pre-order the releases I am most excited for, which is Amazing Spider-Man Black Cat, and then we got Kraven and Lizard, and then we've got Carnage and Mysterio. So the Web Warriors and the Spider Foes are getting big beefy updates. So that's gonna be really fun. So go to Discount Games Inc. and pre-order them now with the largest discount that Jay can give you.
Yeah.
Was that good, Jay? Did I do good?
Amazing.
All right, thanks.
One other thing to news from Discount Games Inc. We previously had a tournament list page for War Machine where you could go and see various War Machine tournament lists. We have upgraded this for the new site, and you'll be able to pick a game system, and within that game system, there will be events and tournament lists that you can see. And right now, we have populated the War Machine lists and the Marvel Crisis Protocol section, so you can check those out. We're hoping to, if you know people and that have lists for the other game systems that are on there that we don't have stuff with, have them contact me at j@discountgamesinc.com, and we're wanting to get more stuff posted on the other game systems. It's something we're pretty excited about, expanding kind of the service that we're offering.
Yeah, this is going to be really exciting. So like, I think it's really cool that you can go up and you can pull out someone's list and kind of copy it and see what you think of it yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always used it for War Machine because, like, I would constantly fall behind of the meta and they'd be like, wait, what are people playing now?
Yeah.
But I played Trolls, so I never need to change.
And then before we dive into our comic arc, we wanted to give a bit of an announcement with the podcast. So we've had our schedules have been pretty crazy. And so we're pausing the payments on the Patreon because we're not going to be able to hit the number of releases that we've committed to for the Patreon. People can still sign up for the Patreon for when we do start hitting that number again. But we wanted to, we didn't want to just like totally pause the podcast or end it. We'll still be recording when we're able to. But yeah, that's kind of the situation for the next little bit with that. Did you have anything to
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just like it's been a struggle, and like I don't want to charge anybody money and not deliver on what we agreed to give them. So yeah, and I kind of hope if you have not been a Patreon backer in the past, you'll back us now, or you'll join the Patreon, give it a listen, and you know, support us in the future as we move forward, because I really do think what you and I are doing is like a really fun podcast, and it has a lot to offer people. So hopefully you guys join us in the journey.
All right. Well, let's dive in and talk about this comic. It's just a single
issue. Yeah.
Issue.
We haven't done that many of those, have we?
No, not too many.
Okay. So, this is Daredevil from 1964, and it's issue 181. And this is our Bullseye story. So the reason I picked this is because it is considered by most people to be the most iconic Bullseye comic arc. And you can kind of see, like, the Netflix show kind of takes a lot of his character and builds on it here. It doesn't have his backstory, because, like, our Bullseye doesn't really have that in the comics, but this comic is, I mean, it's spoilers. This is the one where he kills Elektra, and that is considered, like, the most important thing he did by a lot of people. So this is written by Frank Miller, who did the story and the art. And I've kind of talked a little bit about Frank Miller, but he is, regardless of some of the issues I have with him, he is probably up there in, like, the top 10 most influential comic creators for, like, superhero comics. He's got a very, like, distinct style, and he was kind of the one who popularized, like, a lot of Dark Shadows. So if you're reading it, you'll notice there's a lot of shadows used very effectively in his comic arc. And, like, he's the one who did, like, Sin City and Dark Knight Returns. So, but anyway, so the story is basically, it has Bullseye's in jail. And it's kind of, you know, his Daredevil basically saved his life in a previous issue. And so Bullseye's, he's obsessed with that. And so he is in jail. He's, like, training. They allow him to, like, have weight equipment and a private gym because it kind of keeps him from being extra violent against people. But he's also having these, like, really painful headaches from the fight he got with Daredevil. So he gets these, like, pills. And so he's obsessed with Daredevil, and he's, like, imagining Daredevil training, and he's training. And then the Punisher comes up to him and kind of, like tells him that, hey, the Kingpin isn't going to break you out. The Kingpin's replaced you as his head assassin. So, like, you're never getting out of here. This later, like, I think it's kind of messed up of Punisher, because it's the impetus that Bullseye needed to break out. So Bullseye is allowed to do a TV interview in his costume. And so during this interview, he, like, fakes a headache, spits the pill out at the guard, uses the guard's gun to break his cuffs. And then he's killing guards to escape, and he's taking the newsman hostage. He ends up, like, just completely overpowering all these guards and escaping, where he's then like trying to find Kingpin Goon and find out about the new assassin. So he finds out Elektra's the assassin who's replaced him, and he's basically, like, thinking he's following these clues, and he's trying to find Daredevil, and he thinks that Matt Murdock is Daredevil, but in his mind he's like, it must be crazy, there's no way Matt Murdock is Daredevil, like, that would be ridiculous, like, maybe Matt Murdock is, like, involved with Daredevil. And so at this point, we kind of get a little bit, we see that Elektra has been hired to kill Foggy Nelson for the Kingpin as like revenge against Matt Murdock and Daredevil. Matt Murdock? It's in a previous issue, so I don't remember why, but it's like, he wants to get back at Matt Murdock. Mm-hmm. Do you remember, Jay? I think it's Matt.
Yeah, I don't know. He's just doing, like,
yeah,
dumb Kingpin things, because he's dumb.
Yeah, and so Elektra, who, like, Foggy knows Elektra because she was involved with Matt, so right. Elektra lets her go, and then, you know, Elektra has this big fight with Daredevil, so she senses him before he can attack, and there's a lot of, like, breaking windows and fighting, and Elektra is ninja-ing behind him and strangling him, and it's a pretty cool little fight. And then he ends up, like, stabbing her in the neck with a playing card, and then stabbing her with her own Psi. And so there's not many words here, but it shows her, like, crawling down the street, getting to Matt Murdock, and then dying. So Bullseye followed them, and so Bullseye's like, oh, it can't possibly be true. But what if Matt Murdock is actually Daredevil, and he throws like a knife at Matt Murdock. Matt Murdock deflects it, which confirms it's him. And so Bullseye then goes to Kingpin and tells him that Daredevil's Matt Murdock, and Kingpin's just does not believe him. You're crazy. I don't believe you. like, you bring me Daredevil's body and maybe I'll believe you. And then it shows Bullseye going to kill Matt Murdock, and he's sneaking up on Matt Murdock, but then Daredevil attacks him from behind. And it turns out it's just a dummy with a recorder and a book propped in front of it. But Bullseye's like, oh, I am crazy. I'm slipping. Like, I need to be more careful. And so then Daredevil and Bullseye fight. And it's just a lot of, again, right, there's very few words. It's a very cool, like, lots of individual panels on a page. And so at one point, Bullseye slips. Daredevil's holding him. And he's like, you can't save me. I'm going to kill you. And Daredevil releases him, and he falls and basically breaks his neck on the ground. And then the next scene, he's in a prison. He's in a prison cell. He's not a prison cell. Sorry. He's in a jail. Yeah, my words. I'm sorry, Jay. He's in a hospital bed, completely like wrapped up and immobile. He can't move his body. And Matt Murdock is kind of staring at Elektra's grave. And so what's really cool about this to me is that it sets up a really cool Daredevil comic in the future, Jay, which is Daredevil takes a gun to Bullseye's hospital bed, and the entire issue is him debating if he should execute Bullseye while he's in this hospital bed, okay, and finish the job. And I think it's a really cool comic that dives into Daredevil's mind. And I would definitely recommend you read on, you follow. I don't think it's 182. It's a few issues later, but it sets up one of Daredevil's like defining conflicts, whether he can, you know, kill people.
Hmm.
So what did you think of it?
I mean, I thought it was fine.
Okay.
I don't like the art style of this era that much. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it's fine. I mean, there are some, we've had this discussion several times. I think that I prefer the more modern way of comics, where there is a lot of like narration going on in like bubbles in the scenes that I don't like as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was an interesting story, I guess. So
something I thought was really cool about it is that every like thought bubble or every like narrator bubble is Daredevil's thoughts.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So the entire comic is from his point of view.
Yeah.
And it's almost like conversational, because, you know, he is a very like crazy person who is only really good at killing. He like Bullseye knows what's happening, kind of like the general idea, and then the art is showing specifically what's doing it, right? So like he says, like, Kingpin's probably looking for a new hitman without me and Elektra, like Daredevil's probably heartbroken, and it shows, you know, what is Kingpin actually doing, and he's like burning Daredevil's file or something, and it shows Matt Murdock staring at Elektra's grave. And so I think it's really interesting to have an entire comic from a villain's point of view.
Yeah, I did think that was interesting.
The art, Jay, like, this is just a matter of a difference of opinion. Yeah, I like the art. Yeah. I recognize it's early 80s comic art. And it's but like, this is the best we have that I think comics produced in the early 80s. Like, this is very realistic looking. It's got. Yes, Jay.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
For comic book art, yes. How about that? Like, I will struggle for, like, okay, so this came out in 1982. I don't think there's any other comics that look better than this in 1982.
Well, I mean, saying that all the other comics of this era look like shit doesn't really make me think that this one looks that much better.
That's fair.
Greg. I'm a heretic.
You're frustrating, Jay. It's frustrating. And I love you, but this looks good. I like it. It's a different style.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you find enjoyment from this comic art style.
I hear your.
No, I am glad.
I hear your subtext, Jay. I hear it.
Okay.
No, but so I think that Bullseye is an interesting like kind of psychopath who's very prideful, and he's he's just like gleefully violent, and he kills people pretty much like just very, very casually and as a matter of fact. And I think this comic was really cool showing like what happens when Daredevil gets obsessed, and it's like, oh, he can do almost anything. He's extremely dangerous. He's very like, he's just evil. And I like this a lot.
What did you, so like, I guess kind of the big shock factor of this one was him killing Elektra.
Yeah.
What did, I guess, how did you feel about that when you read it?
The first comic I read about Elektra was all about her being resurrected. So I've never, you know, I've never read this being surprised. Right, I have always known that like the biggest thing Bullseye did was kill Elektra. And I think the Netflix show even kind of played with possibilities of like them going here someday. But I wasn't shocked at all. Like, if that's what you mean. And I
honestly, it didn't really have much emotional impact for me.
It didn't. And it should. I feel like part of the problem is like Elektra is also a bad guy in this comic.
Sure. Yeah.
Like, she's like, I'm going to kill Daredevil's friend. And then she doesn't. And we're supposed to be like, oh, she's a good guy. And I'm like, no, that doesn't make her very relatable in this comic. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and like, so, okay. So hold on. Her words are just like, I've been hired to kill you. You will feel no pain. Like, be silent, be calm. And then she just like lets him go. And like that, I feel like Elektra isn't super relatable. And her character is, her character for most of her existence has kind of been this, she's a love interest of Daredevil that he relates to, like his violent side relates to her and like his passionate side relates to her, but she doesn't align with Daredevil at all, right? Like, she's not a hero. And I don't really care that she died either.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think if anything, that's where it kind of failed to like hit me here. And maybe that's just because, you know, we're not reading the year's worth of comics before this.
Well, or
maybe we're like, not in the right frame.
Yeah, there's also the part of it like, you know, she dies and I don't know, like deaths in comics just have a hard time, I guess, having much emotional impact because it's like so far removed from Game of Thrones where like Ned Stark dies and you're like, oh my God, what just happened?
What a surprise. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like he's coming back.
And it's like, oh, he'll be back on Thursday.
Yeah. I mean, so what you're, that's kind of one of the big problems with Marvel and DC Comics and death.
Right.
It's always temporary.
Right.
So yeah, I don't blame you for not feeling the death of a character as like a big emotional moment. Like I didn't really feel it either. So
yeah, that's fair. Okay, I took a few screenshots of ones that kind of made me like WTF a little bit. So one, I thought it was funny. So Foggy gets in the cab with this woman who's a driver that is dressed as like a
red swimsuit model or something.
Stripper ninja.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, this is weird. I have a woman driving me. How strange to have a woman driving me and not the fact that she's like dressed in this costume.
Yeah. Also, remember, she dated his roommate in college, right? Like,
yeah.
He should know her. I don't know. It's very, yeah. Foggy was also presented as kind of like really stupid sometimes.
Sure.
Which, whatever.
The next one, so Daredevil and Elektra are fighting, and he's talking to her. He's like, put up, pretty good fight, Toots. You're pretty good. But me, I'm magic.
Yeah, and then he throws a card into her neck.
Yep. Yeah, it just makes me laugh every time I read a Marvel comic and there's something like Toots or, you know, whatever. And then the last one, so they're at the coroner's, and the coroner's like, you know, saying, going over these causes of death, and then he's like, you knew her? And then Foggy says, yes, her name was Elektra. Elektra Nachios. And I'd never known what Elektra's last name was.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but it was just kind of funny to me that it's, like, when I read it, it's really close to reading Nachos.
It's Greek. Jay, it's a Greek last name. Come on.
It just made me laugh. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's
sometimes I can be juvenile.
As far as I know, she's like the only Greek character that's like well known.
Huh. Yeah, I didn't have any idea that she was Greek actually.
Yeah. Jennifer Garner in the old movies with Ben Affleck.
Yeah. Was there anything that worked really well or that didn't work that well for you?
I really liked how the panels were done. Something I really liked was there was a lot of blank space used really effectively. One I liked was like Daredevil, or not Bullseye. Gosh, I'm really bad at this. Bullseye is like in a abandoned building and he's just like laughing, and so it has this white space where his laughter is like spilling out over into it. It really makes him look like extra crazy. There's other parts where like there'll be characters, but they're not inside panels. They're just in a white space to really focus on the characters. There's like moments where Bullseye is like hiding and you can just see like his mask and his face because he's in the dark and he's got a dark suit on. I really like the art a lot. I think it's for what it, again, I know I have to couch it in like it's 80s comic art. But like, I thought it was good. I really liked it. And I think the art really did a great job of like adding to the and like adding to some of the drama and the stealth aspect.
Okay. I guess any other thoughts on this arc in general?
I mean, it's not as good as I thought it would. Like for me, it was kind of a like I have read this. I think I told you, Jay, that I'd never read this. I've read this. Uh-huh. I realized that later. Okay. But I read it like in high school or middle school.
Okay.
I barely remembered it. But it's just it's supposed to be this amazing big moment to the Daredevil story. And I think it's more about like that comic I told you about where he debates murdering Bullseye. Like that's the moment. That's the big important moment for Daredevil.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily. And so I didn't want, I did think like, well, I wish I had recommended that comic. And then I was like, but then we've done a comic issue about a character where like the main character is just in a unconscious in a hospital bed, like the whole story. So anyways.
All right. Well, I guess is of the characters in this, are there any that you do want to see in the MCU?
I really do want to see make an appearance. I think Bullseye is the perfect kind of like enemy or foil you need for like a Daredevil style hero. And so if we get Daredevil, I really want his main fighting to be against. And I think you should just kill Bullseye at the end. Like there's no reason for him to stay around. Let Matt Murdock drop him and break his neck and just be like, yeah, he's a vegetable now. Tony Stark isn't gonna fix him. I think in the Netflix show it happens where he gets like completely damaged and then they like give him stem cell therapy or something and they fix him up so that he can walk again and then he just goes back to killing everybody. I kinda wanna rewatch the Netflix Daredevil, but anyways, what about you, Jay? Do you think
I don't know. I mean, I guess I'll say I'm not in a rush to see Daredevil added to the MCU.
Okay.
I won't be disappointed when they do, but you know, I would be a lot more excited about X-Men or some of the other things that they could be developing.
Did you hear they said Ghost Rider's gonna be in an upcoming movie?
I did hear that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a leak at this point, so who knows? But
right. Yeah.
The kind of I like the idea that characters like that could be guest stars like the Incredible Hulk is, and I think Ghost Rider is more interesting as like scary, and you can't really do that if he's the main character, right?
Yeah.
So I think it'd be really cool if like Doctor Strange has to fight him. Anyways.
Yeah, I am pretty excited for Doctor Strange too.
Oh, it's gonna be so much fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about Bullseye in the game.
Yeah, let's go. So Bullseye in the game is a three-threat character. He's size 2. He's a medium move. He's got 5 stamina on both sides. His defenses are 3-3-3. His stats are like... His base stats there are so average.
Mr.
It's
average.
Like crazy. Yeah, he's got the average stats for a human character, like a normal E character. He's got 2 physical attacks. The first one is called Throwing Knife. It is range 4, 4 dice, and it costs 0. And so the defending character does not benefit from cover. It says after the attack is resolved, he gains power equal to the damage dealt, and then he has Wild Bleed on it. So this builder is bad. This is not a great builder. Like, just disappointing, right? That it's only 4 dice. So I think because of Throwing Knife, he's not going to be really high on power a lot of times. He's kind of going to struggle with power generation. Pincushion is his expensive attack, and it's range 4, and it's only 5 dice, but it costs 4 power. So I think a lot of people look at Throwing Knife and they look at Pincushion and how it's not that amazing, basically. And this is part of the problem people have with Bullseye. So Bullseye's Pincushion attack, the big attack, it does say the defending character does not benefit from cover as well. This one gives you bleed automatically. It has Rapid Fire, which is after this attack is resolved, this character may make an additional Pincushion attack, but it loses Rapid Fire. So that's kind of cool, right? So for 4 power, you're getting 2 range 4, 5 dices that ignore cover and automatically give bleed. So that's pretty cool. It's a very easy way to give bleed since you don't need to get anything else. But again, it's only 5 dice, so I can see that disappointment. He has Hit and Run, which is really great, I think. So Hit and Run is you pay 2 power, and it takes an action, and you can make an attack followed by a move. So this is like reverse charge. Cyclops has it. It's very good for the economy of the character. And I think a lot of times it's going to ensure that Bullseye can make 2 attacks and move most of the time. So he has an attack called he has a reactive superpower called I Never Miss, which I think this is like the best like superpower he has. After an attack made by this character is resolved, if no damage was dealt, then he can use this superpower and that target character suffers 1 damage. So I think I Never Miss is actually what makes Bullseye worth it. He will often not do any damage, and you can just pay 1 and force the opponent to take a damage. This is not part of the attack, so like if you use Throwing Knife and then I Never Miss, you don't get 1 power from Throwing Knife. So but I think what's really cool about this is that it gets around a lot of defensive abilities that can be really annoying. And in my opinion, there are a lot of times where you will have an enemy character at 2 health, and if Bullseye's in range 4 and he has 2 power, that character is now dead, right? Like, that's why he's so good. I've been playing a lot of Criminal Syndicate in the last couple months, and I would always take Bullseye to sit on my back point and then come up and do bunches of pin cushions and I Never Misses when I needed to like plink down on people. And I have had a turn where I got to use double pin cushion and I Never Miss 4 times, and it was so silly, but it was totally worth it. I made 3 characters bleed, and I dazed 2 characters. Like, it was so good. By himself, he's not good, but as a janitor for combat, I think he's perfect. He does have another superpower called Parting Shot, which costs 2, and it's after an attack targeting Bullseye is resolved, he can use Parting Shot, and they suffer, so the attacker suffers 1 damage, and then he can advance away from them short. Now, Parting Shot, you do have to let the attack resolve, so if the attack dazes or knocks out Bullseye, it's a bummer. But I do think this is just another nice thing Bullseye has to plink away at damage. I don't know, Jay. A lot of people think Bullseye is the worst character in the game, and they think he's like unplayably bad. And I just don't agree. I think I wouldn't take him out of Criminal Syndicate or like Cabal maybe, but I really like Bullseye. I think he's actually good.
Yeah, I don't think he's the worst character. I think that his affiliations help out a fair bit with that. And he does have, like you said, some useful situation scenarios. Do you... Obviously, they likely would have needed to have changed some things a little bit. But do you think that it would have been better if they had designed him so that he was maybe slightly weaker, but then was a two-point character?
Maybe, but I think if he was a two-point character... I mean, if he was a two-point character, Jay, like, even if you lower his defense or his health, like, give him 4-4, and then, like, maybe take away parting shot or take away hit and run, I would think he's the best two-pointer.
Oh, yeah?
I think he's an okay three. I think he could... If I was gonna say, I think the mistake they made was giving him only 4 dice on throwing knife. I think the only thing I would change to make him a good 3-pointer is give him 5 dice on his builder. You're a lot more likely to generate like 2 power or 1 power off of it then.
Right.
And I think as it is, he does feel a little power starved sometimes. In Criminal Syndicate, I usually don't attack with him until round 2 or 3. Because he's usually just scoring points in the back, and then he'll come up and he'll start attacking after, or, you know, the enemy will have to come up if it's like Gamma Shelter or something. But when he does, like, if he's got like 5 or 6 power, I think he's amazing. Like, I actually do really like Pincushion. And I do think I Never Miss makes him really good. Now there are some like matchups where he's less useful, right? Like against Kingpin, Crossbones, Thanos, against Black Order, he is...
Right.
Do not take him against Black Order. Like, just don't. He's not worth it. He doesn't get to use his abilities against most of those characters, because they can just reduce it, right? So I think, though, if you take him against Magneto, he's incredible, right? Because you can just keep doing 5 dice attacks against Magneto... and eventually Magneto will run out of power to increase his defense. And then each time Magneto is like paying 2 to buff his defense, he's bleeding, and you get to do I Never Miss to like plink away at damage. And like the ideal, I think it's because he also applies bleed so easily, it's even better that he's like chipping away at these characters, because you will often end up in a turn where your opponent will have to sacrifice an action to shake bleed, or they're going to be dazed or knocked out. I just like, I know he's not amazing, but I think in Criminal Syndicate, he is definitely a good choice for most matchups. And like if a character gets around, if a character has defense buffs, I think he's even better, you know, like, oh, your Black Panther didn't take a damage. Well, I really just want to do 1 on him. That's fine. Like plink, I Never Miss. I don't think I'll ever take him out of affiliation though.
Right. Yeah.
Like he's one of those characters where like I will never take him over an affiliate if he's not in there. I think is he only in Criminal Syndicate? I think that might be true. Oh, he is in Cabal, so he might be a solid Cabal choice. I don't think he's a good Red Skull choice, but like if you're going with Sin, I like Sin with a bunch of characters to mess around. So I think that could be cool. But most of the time, I'm just taking him in Criminal. I think he does struggle because there's going to be a lot of good 3-pointers in Criminal Syndicate. But
yeah, there are. In general with Criminal Syndicate, you also can there's just a lot of good 3-pointers that you're competing with as well. But I think it's something. So I think that this is common with all miniature games, where people will read a card, they'll come to a snap judgment on him, and not really test him out on the table. And, you know, I mean, that's fine. People have limited time, limited money, etc. If you don't want to buy, Deadeye, that's fine. Bullseye.
Whatever.
he's one of those things.
Target man.
Yeah, but I think you're right that he is a character that will probably surprise people on what they think of him when they play him, and they'll probably agree with you that he's never going to be in like contention as one of the best 3-pointers, but he's still likely to be better than what your initial impression is of him.
If if I could, those of you playing Criminal Syndicate, I think when you play Criminal Syndicate right now, the best build is Kingpin, Bullseye, Crossbones, and then Taskmaster. Just because so many of them can use, what is it, Shadow Organization, and become like almost untargetable by people far away. And then like Crossbones is in the back, Kingpin's in the middle, and then Taskmaster and Crossbones can kind of be on the flanks or far up front scoring. You know, you're trying to score with Criminal Syndicates more than anything else. So Crossbones being able to like move up and then hit and run back to his spot is really useful if he's in the back, and then the other three are like close range fighters. So like I think that's the best Criminal Syndicate core list that I've found. I just think it's really good. Now, I do have foresee a problem, Jay, and that's that I think Mysterio far outranks Bullseye for staying far away and scoring points. But a lot of people aren't going to want to play Mysterio because he's got one defense. Well, like, I think it's fine. Mysterio is a cool character, but I think some people are just going to see that and be like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, like, true. Fair enough. I guess any tips or tricks when playing with him or playing against him?
Well, I think one thing you have to do, if you have a character with like defense buffs, you have to keep in mind like how much power Bullseye has, because for every attack he can make, if he has one power to go with it, that's an automatic one damage. So for example, if he has 8 power, you have to understand that he'll be able to do 4 damage to you no matter what, right? So like the characters I'm thinking of are Magneto, Ebony Maw, and Doctor Strange that can buff their defenses or like right. change the number of dice they roll. Right. And so like he is so good about killing them, like clicking away at them or finishing them off. Like my plan usually was I activate him last to try to get the one damage if I needed it, or, and he can pick right. Like after you've activated, he can pick and he can try to target somebody to get them off of a point by just doing the one damage they need. I think really Bullseye's pretty easy to kill. So if you just send a 3 or a 4 pointer after him, most of them can kill Bullseye. And I think you'll have some matchups where you're like, okay, Bullseye has 2 power. I don't care. Nobody is going to be 2 or 3 away from death. So I'll ignore Bullseye. But then other times, right, Bullseye might be the first person you need to eliminate. If he is going to like, if you're like, okay, Doctor Strange has 2 health left and like a bunch of power, I'll be able to protect myself against, you know, these two characters, but Bullseye is the one that will definitely kill Doctor Strange if I don't knock him out. And I think you will find if you don't underestimate Bullseye, you'll be able to pick and choose when to eliminate him. And I think that's the key to playing again. When you're playing with him, just keep him back. Use like a lot of times you'll just keep him on a back point and you will advance him up, use hit and run to hit somebody, and then you'll walk back. And that will be worth it. Just to try to bleed people, just to try to like whittle away at their health. And like you might be in playing a list that generates power. And so it's possible that like he can come in later with 6 power and just really poke the world. So I think it's pretty fun to play with him. But he is only amazing for like one turn a game. So
and I'm spent.
I mean, yeah, he shoots his load and then he's too tired to keep going.
All right. Well, I guess we can wrap it up there on that high point. So next week is going to be Mr. Sinister.
Yeah.
What is going to be our comic? Or next episode, I should say.
I picked one with a great cover, Jay. You're going to love it. So we're reading Uncanny X-Men, and this is the original Uncanny X-Men run from 1963, and we're going to read issues 239 to 243.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, everyone who has supported the Patreon. You guys are awesome, and we definitely appreciate it very much.
Yeah. Thank you so much, everybody.